see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you have a Bible and would like to turn there, turn to Luke chapter 2. Very familiar birth narrative. Luke chapter 2. Scripture reading will be from verse 8 through verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Listen to the word of the Lord this evening. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. People love to celebrate. Whenever there's a joyous occasion, we love to get together to enjoy one another's company and to celebrate, to get away from the routines of life. And we know that tonight and this and tomorrow around the world, people have their decorations up. They have their meals planned. Music is playing. Many, maybe most, don't have any idea why they celebrate right now. It's time for family. Any excuse to eat is good. It's fun being together. And all those are fine, fine things. But God gives us substantial reasons that you and I can joyfully celebrate as we reflect on the coming of Jesus Christ to our world. And I want to draw your attention to a few in this passage. The first reason I draw your attention to there in verses 8 and 9 is that God comes to us in His glory. There the shepherds were, keeping watch over their flocks, as they had done for years in their own lives. These shepherds had for years watched the flocks in the countryside and the hillside, and their fathers did it before them, and their grandfathers did it before them. So there they were going about the routines of their life, the normal things that that they would be doing, and suddenly God, in His glory, broke through. There they were watching their sheep, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The majestic and radiant beauty of God. Now, God has this characteristic. God is displayed in His glory all the time. This is the essence of His being. He's a glorious being. There's glory and majesty and delight and beauty in all there is about Him. But much of our lives, it's veiled to us. It's covered over. Just as well, we would probably perish if we saw it. But on this occasion and certain other occasions, God, as it were, drew back the curtain of heaven and allowed for this moment for the glory of His majestic being to pierce through the darkness of their life. And the encouragement for you and I is that God sometimes does that for you and for me. Our routines, the darkness, the discouragements of our life, that's not all that God has in mind for you and for me. But there are times when God breaks through our routine, breaks through the, so to speak, humdrum of our life, and He reveals His glory. Now, it won't be in a visible manifestation like this. But it will be when you're hearing a sermon, listening to a Bible study, when you're reading the Word of God yourself. And suddenly in those moments, God will break through and the Holy Spirit will wake you up and you will see something. You will understand the truth. You've read that verse 100 times and you read it again, and the glory of God is being revealed. God wants to invade and does invade your life with His glory. And it's interesting, the initial response of the shepherds to the glory of God and breaking in, being unveiled and allowing them to see it for this momentary time was not a happy response. They were terrified. Guilty men are terrified before the holy glory of Almighty God. And they ought to be. It's our guilty consciences, it's our sin that causes us to back up in terror when we're confronted with the holiness of Almighty God. And we ought to be. God is terrifying to guilty sinners. But the encouraging thing about this fact that God invaded their lives and He invades your life and mine with His glory is that God pursues you. When you, like those shepherds, would have turned and run away if you had been able to, when you would say, God, I'm not interested in this in my life, God pursues you and He humbles you and He grabs a hold of you and He says, I want you. My glory is going to be poured out into your life. You will see my glory. And when we see it and He brings us to that point, it gives us reason to truly celebrate that God takes the initiative to break through with His glory. Another reason for a joyful celebration is that we see in this the goodness of God being poured out, the message of the angels. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, or good news of great joy. It's not just news, it's not just not good news, but it's good news of great joy. We see in the angel's appearance and in God pulling back a view of His glory, and in the message of the angels, the goodness of God. You know, our world that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know God, is all messed up. They blame God for everything, and they have hostile thoughts toward God. But we see in the coming of Christ, in the appearance of the angels, and the glory being unveiled, the goodness of God being poured out. Just flowing down to us. And there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, can you imagine what that sounded like? And if you're a Christian, you'll get to hear it. We get a taste of it as we worship together and we sing and experience the joy of the Lord in our singing together. But what will it be like when there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands in joyful assembly? What singing will there be then? And God in his message to the angels is reminding us this is His goodness being poured out to you. God is good. And He doesn't hold it back and keep it veiled, but He unveils it so you can see it. Another reason for joy is that God comes to meet us in our deepest and most pertinent need. If you want to use the word relevant, God comes to address your true need. Behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You need a Savior. We sometimes think about our world and it's a mess. But our problems in our world aren't primarily financial. It's not political. It's not psychological or intellectual. It's our basic problem is moral. People blame God for the problems in our world, but He's not to blame. The blame goes to us. We make a mess of things. That which disturbs our families, our personal lives, our relationships is sin. It comes from within our own hearts. The reason our world is in such a mess is because we're in it. It's our fault. We're the ones that make a mess of things. And our good intentions that aren't enough to overcome our evil impulses. And the thing is, what we need is a Savior. And God is saying, in His glory and His goodness flowing out, is saying, and I've come to bring you what you need. I've come to bring you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And what gives us cause for rejoicing as we think about that is the evil in our lives, the sin in our lives, is not the final word. It's not going to get the upper hand. It's not going to have the final say. But God has brought a Savior to redeem us. And evil is doomed, and our best days are yet to come. Fourth reason that we see in here, among others, that gives us reason for joyful celebration is that God is going to make sure that He is glorified. Now, that may not sound like something to rejoice in, but even in the message of the angels, what are they saying? Glory to God in the highest. The most important thing is that God be glorified everywhere, in everything, in all His world. There's something higher than our sin. There's something higher than our authorities and powers in this world. There's something higher than the problems. It's God Almighty. He must and will be glorified in the highest. And He's steadily guiding all history and all of our lives to be for His glory. And this is ultimately a wonderful thing, because you and I will never experience joy without this. We have in our shorter catechism a first question, a question that asks, what is the chief end of man? Why are you here? What is the purpose for your life? What gives your life meaning? And the answer begins, the chief end of man is to glorify God. And then it's going to add and enjoy Him forever. But we tend to brush over the first part. We want to get to the second one. I only read you half of the angel's message. You want me to get to the second part. Let's get to the peace on earth. That's what I want. I want to get to the enjoying Him for it. That's what I want. No, wait a minute. You're never going to get there unless we start at the first. The foundation of all peace, the foundation of all joy is glory to God in the highest. He has to be exalted over all things. He has to be first. Our problem is God neglect. It's me first. The message of the angels, the message of God here to us is that, no, it's God first. It's His glory first. That's what our attention, our focus has to be on. And God is basically telling us, and this is why we can rejoice. He says, and I'm going to make sure it happens. Don't worry, I will be glorified. And you and I want to get with the program and glorify Him too. Then the second part of the message, which is the last reason for joyful celebration, is glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God is bringing to you, God's plan and His purpose is to bring to you joy and peace. You may be thinking, well, it's about time you get there. But you see, we've got to go through the steps. We've got to have a Savior who's going to redeem us from sin. We have to have a God who is glorified above all things. And we desiring that glory above all things. And God intends and plans and desires for you to have peace. Not a superficial peace. Not a negotiated peace, but a peace, a well-being in the fullest and broadest sense. And that peace flows from a God who is all glorious. And this is the beauty of the gospel. This is the celebration of the gospel as God brings those two marvelous things together. One old Puritan preacher put it this way: God has joined these two together as one chief end and good. The one that he might be glorified, and the other that we might be happy. And both these are attained by honoring and serving him. Thus, our happiness and God's chief end agree together. What a sweetness is this in God, that in seeking our good, his seeking our good, we would glorify him. What a sweetness in God. And in the coming of Christ, we see it in the most preeminent way. What a sweetness in God that he would desire us to give him glory, and he would put all his resources to bring us peace. Beloved, this is a reason for joyful celebration. That you can have the privilege to glorify God, and he will through that bring you blessed joy and peace. May remembering Christ coming to us, bringing glory to us, and bringing peace to us, encourage us to truly rejoice. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for the joyous celebration we can have in the coming of your Son, who comes to us in the routines and the mundane portions of our lives to break through with your glory and to draw us into the glory of your wonderful and holy name and to bring us peace and joy. May we, O Lord, embrace him and know him and see him and see your glory and desire that in our lives and find in you that blessed richness of your wonderful peace and love in our lives. We ask all this for the glory of your holy name. Amen.